Thank you for joining us for our second quarter 2024 results call. As usual, our Chief Executive Officer, Christian Sewing, will speak first, followed by our Chief Financial Officer, James von Moltke. The presentation, as always, is available to download in the investor relations section of our website, db.com. Before we get started, let me just remind you that the presentation contains forward-looking statements which may not develop as we currently expect. We therefore ask you to take notice of the precautionary warning at the end of our materials. With that, let me hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Ioana, and a warm welcome from me. I'm delighted to be discussing our second quarter and first half results with you today. After another quarter where we made progress across the businesses on our strategic initiatives, we are on track to hit our financial targets. We generated revenues of 15.4 billion euros in the first half, on track to 30 billion euros of revenues this year. We have franchise momentum across all businesses, driving commissions and fee income. Our capital-light businesses are gaining market share, such as our corporate bank and Origination & Advisory, which we expect to continue in the second half alongside a more supportive NII environment. We also delivered on our adjusted cost target. Our quarterly run rate is at 5 billion euros, in line with our commitment. Our results were impacted by the litigation provision of 1.3 billion euros related to the acquisition of Postbank, which we had to book this quarter. As said before, we strongly disagree with the changed and unexpected assessment of the court, and we are working hard to ultimately minimize the impact of this legal matter for our shareholders. But importantly, the bank's operational performance was not impacted. On the contrary, on an underlying basis, we delivered year-on-year improvements on our key target ratios. Excluding the Postbank takeover litigation provision, our post-tax return on tangible equity was 7.8%, up from 6.8% in the first half last year. The best first half and second quarter since 2011, which demonstrates the continued momentum in our operating businesses. Our cost-income ratio also improved from 73% to 69% year-on-year. And finally, our CET1 ratio of 13.5% remains solid despite absorbing Postbank and a number of legacy litigation matters, which shows our capital strength and gives us confidence to deliver on our capital distribution commitments. Let me now discuss in more detail some of the drivers of our first half results on slide 2. Pre-provision profit was up 17% year-on-year to 4.7 billion euros, excluding the impact of the Postbank takeover litigation provision. We also demonstrated positive operating leverage, a core element of our strategy execution. We grew revenues in our core businesses by 3% year-on-year, while group revenues were up 2% on a reported basis. Our reported non-interest revenues were up 14% year-on-year, with strong growth in commissions and fee income of 12%, which demonstrates clearly that our strategy to grow our capital-light business is working. We continue to deliver better-than-expected NII performance in our banking books, which provides additional comfort to our revenue path for 2024 and in years thereafter. We reduced our adjusted costs to 10.1 billion euros year-on-year, and we continue to deliver savings through our operational efficiency program, which I will discuss in more detail in a moment. Now let's look at the franchise achievements across our businesses on slide 3. In the first half year, the corporate bank delivered a 16% increase in incremental deals won with multinational clients compared to the prior year period. Our success with our clients was also rewarded with a series of high-profile awards. We have continued to make investments to further strengthen our positioning with our clients. We are building out our structuring capabilities and our originate-to-distribute model, taking advantage of our broad investor base. All of that gives us confidence we can sustain our momentum. The Investment Bank made significant advances across the franchise over the first half of the year. Origination and Advisory increased its global market share to 2.6% in the first half year, a gain of more than 70 basis points over the full year 2023, and we raised our global ranking from the 11th to the 7th. The business continued to support clients through its multifaceted product offering, including M&A sell-side advice, as well as debt issuance linked to the partnership between Grant Thornton and New Mountain Capital. Fixed income and currency revenues were up 3% year-on-year, supported by a 7% increase in financing revenues, even compared to a strong prior year period. The private bank also continued to build momentum with 19 billion euros of net inflows in the first 6 months, supporting growth in assets under management of 34 billion euros. We are also seeing recognition for our transformation and digitalization efforts in our retail personal banking franchise, with 13% more logins in Postbank's mobile app since end of 2023. We are also improving services for our ultra-high net worth clients and, for example, have established a dedicated team in Germany for ultra-high net worth clients. We are leveraging our enhanced technology and product capabilities to expand into FX products, strategic asset allocation or Lombard lending to ultra-high net worth clients in Europe. And we have further developed our key client relationships to boost asset gathering. In the first half year, asset management grew assets under management by 37 billion euros to 933 billion euros. This was boosted by continued strong inflows into passive, in line with our strategy, which saw net inflows of 18 billion euros in the first 6 months and is expected to support future revenue generation. Now let me turn to our progress against our strategic objectives on slide 4. We continued to make progress on all three pillars of our global house bank strategy. Starting with revenue growth, we delivered a compound annual growth rate of 5.7% since 2021. This underscores the benefit of a well-diversified and complementary business mix. Stable NII in our banking book segments was supported by strong non-interest revenues following our investments in our growth initiatives. Looking at the drivers behind commissions and fee income strengths in the first 6 months, we saw growth mainly in our capital-light businesses. We saw particular strong momentum in origination and advisory as the market recovered and our franchise is strengthening and gaining market share, a trend we expect to continue. Our initiatives in the corporate bank are also paying off. Commissions and fee income grew by 6%, with business growth across all regions, which is notably visible in trade finance and lending. We gained market share in our documentary trade business, and our structuring capabilities are expanding, which includes increasing contribution from larger transition financing deals. And in wealth management and private banking, we grew non-interest revenues from investment products and lending by 11%. We will continue to build on these developments, and with business volumes growing, we are confident that our revenue trajectory will remain strong in the second half of the year. First, the impact from the expected NII normalization will be lower than initially anticipated, with full-year NII in our banking book segments broadly stable to the prior year level. And we will see continued commissions and fee income growth, mainly in origination and advisory, corporate bank and asset management. This puts revenues of 30 billion euros clearly in sight. Additionally, we are highly focused on targeted resource allocation and on driving balance sheet velocity. We continue to deliver on our 2.5 billion euro operational efficiency program, having completed measures with delivered or expected gross savings of 1.5 billion euros, 60% of our target, with around 1.2 billion euros in savings already realized. As part of this program, we have made workforce reductions of 2,700, including 700 FTEs during the second quarter alone, reaching nearly 80% of the planned total through end 2024. In addition, we have reduced contract external staff by approximately 1,100 in 2024 to date. We have clear sight of the remaining savings yet to come from our operational efficiency program, which will offset inflation and our investments in business growth. Our optimization initiatives in Germany are expected to generate savings of around 500 million euros. Investments to reduce the complexity of our organization by improving technology and optimizing the workforce across infrastructure will deliver a further 550 million euros. Automation of processes alongside better alignment of our front-to-back setup, including the recent organizational changes, will deliver another 250 million euros. This gives us firm confidence that we are on track to deliver on our commitment of a quarterly run rate of adjusted costs of around 5 billion euros in 2024, and that we will further reduce this run rate closer to 4.9 billion euros by the end of the year to meet our non-interest expense objective of around 20 billion euros. Finally, on capital efficiency, we achieved a beneficial equal to a 4 billion euro RWA reduction in the second quarter through data and process improvements. As a result, cumulative RWA reductions from capital efficiency measures reached already 19 billion euros. We have a line of sight on further reductions coming in the second half, and we are working towards meeting or exceeding our 25 billion-30 billion euro target. Let me conclude with a few words on our strategy on slide five. Our first half results represent another milestone in the progress with our Global House Bank strategy and set a path to achieving our 2025 target of greater than 10% return on tangible equity. First, we saw strong momentum across all businesses in a more mixed operating environment than we had expected. With a better-than-expected NII trajectory, coupled with our complementary and growing global franchise, we are confident that our strong revenue momentum will deliver revenues of 30 billion euros this year. The investments we have made in our business give us confidence that this run rate will continue, as around 75% of revenues come from more predictable businesses. We are the go-to European bank for our clients and will continue to build on it by offering clients full-service products and solutions. This builds our confidence that we can achieve our 2025 target of 32 billion euros. Second, we are delivering operational efficiencies, which maintain our 5 billion euro run rate in 2024 and will translate into further cost savings, achieving 20 billion euros of non-interest expenses in 2025. Simply put, our revenue growth, combined with our cost reductions, will ensure positive operating leverage. Third, we have put material legacy items behind us. Although this results in higher litigation charges this year, progress we are making should position us to deliver without major surprises in 2025. Fourth, we will see normalization in credit costs next year, closer to the underlying run rate we have this year after overlays and hedging, which will further bolster higher net income. We remain dedicated to creating value for our shareholders. Our earnings power and the progress we have made with capital optimization give us full confidence that we can maintain our trajectory to increase distributions beyond our original goal of 8 billion euros in respect of the financial years 2021 to 2025. We completed the share repurchase program launched in March, bringing cumulative shareholder distributions through dividends and share repurchases to €3.3 billion since 2022. And we will continue to manage capital with the same discipline as over the past several years. To sum up, with our business momentum and all the progress made, we have a clear line of sight on our target for ROTE of greater than 10% for 2025. With that, let me hand over to James.
Thank you, Christian. Let me start with a few key performance indicators on slide 7 and place them in the context of our 2025 targets. Christian mentioned our continued business momentum, which resulted in revenue growth of 5.7% on a compound basis for the last 12 months relative to 2021 within our revenue growth target range. Our reported half-year cost-income ratio was 78%, and return on tangible equity was 3.9%, both impacted by the Postbank takeover litigation provision. Excluding this provision, the ratios were 69% and 7.8%, showing further improvement compared to 2023. Our capital position remained solid in the second quarter, with the CET1 ratio at 13.5%, despite absorbing the aforementioned litigation provision. Our liquidity metrics also remained strong. The liquidity coverage ratio was 136%, above our target of around 130%, and the net stable funding ratio was 122%. In short, our performance in the period reaffirms our resilience and our confidence in reaching our 2025 targets. With that, let me turn to the second quarter highlights on slide 8. Group revenues were €7.6 billion, up 2% on the second quarter of 2023. Non-interest expenses were €6.7 billion, up 20% year-on-year, driven by the increased litigation charges in the quarter. Non-operating costs, including litigation charges of €1.55 billion. Beyond the Postbank takeover litigation provision of €1.3 billion, there were additional charges of approximately €220 million related to a series of legacy items we resolved in the quarter. We also booked €106 million of restructuring and severance charges in line with our full-year guidance. Adjusted costs increased 2% year-on-year due to higher compensation and benefits. Provision for credit losses was €476 million, or 40 basis points of average loans, and I will discuss both adjusted costs and provisions in more detail shortly. We generated a profit before tax of €411 million and a net profit of €52 million. Our tax rate in the quarter of 87% was impacted by the aforementioned litigation charges, which were largely non-deductible. Excluding these litigation effects, the expected tax rate for the full year continues to be around 30%. In the second quarter, diluted earnings per share was negative 28 cents and tangible book value per share was €28.65, up 6% year on year. Let me now turn to some of the drivers of these results. Let me start with a review of our net interest income on slide 9. NII was essentially flat across all of our key banking book segments at €3.4 billion, slightly above prior expectations. NII in each of the banking book segments followed the same trends as seen in the prior quarter. Our base case is that our quarterly NII run rate will remain broadly stable, and we reiterate that we expect to improve on our earlier guidance for the full-year banking book NII. The group number, reflecting accounting effects, decreased by approximately €100 million compared to the previous quarter. This effect is offset by an increase in non-interest revenues and has no overall revenue impact to the group. With that, let's turn to adjusted cost development on slide 10. Adjusted costs were €5 billion for the quarter, up 2% year-on-year. The year-on-year increase was driven by higher compensation and benefits costs, which were up by 6%, reflecting higher performance-related compensation, wage growth, as expected, and increases in internal workforce after our targeted investments in talent throughout 2023, including Numis. Let's now turn to provision for credit losses on slide 11. Provision for credit losses in the second quarter was €476 million. equivalent to 40 basis points of average loans. The sequential increase in Stage 1 and 2 provisions to €35 million was mainly driven by the net effect of overlays and model enhancements, which were partly mitigated by quarter-on-quarter portfolio movements. Stage 3 provisions remained at an elevated level, but reduced slightly to €441 million. The decrease was mainly driven by the private bank. While provisions in the investment bank remained stable and were largely related to commercial real estate exposures, provisions in the corporate bank increased, driven by two larger impairment events. Looking ahead to the second half of the year, we are now seeing some stabilization in the broader U.S. CRE sector, though office, U.S. office remains broadly unchanged. Overall, this should lead to lower provisions compared to the first half, but our office CRE portfolio will continue to be impacted. We also continue to conservatively manage our loan book with lower growth rates, including active management of single-name concentration risks through well-established comprehensive hedging programs. Reflecting on these items and considering developments in the first half of the year, we revise our full-year guidance for provision for credit losses to be slightly above 30 basis points of average loans. Before we move to performance in our businesses, let me turn to capital on slide 12. With 13.5%, our second quarter Common Equity Tier 1 ratio was up slightly compared to the previous quarter. CET1 capital improved slightly, reflecting lower regulatory capital deduction items and strong net income for the quarter, largely offset by the Postbank takeover litigation provision. Risk-weighted assets increased from business growth, together with higher operational risk RWA, including the impact of the Postbank takeover litigation provision, mostly offset by reductions from strong delivery of capital efficiency measures. At the end of the second quarter, our leverage ratio was 4.6%, 13 basis points higher compared to the previous quarter. The 12 basis points of the increase were driven by higher Tier 1 capital due to the €1.5 billion additional Tier 1 issuance in June. With that, let's now turn to performance in our businesses, starting with the Corporate Bank on slide 14. Corporate Bank revenues in the second quarter were €1.9 billion, essentially flat year-on-year, and up sequentially driven by growth in commissions and fee income and resilient deposit revenues as higher business volumes compensated higher client payouts. We have seen good progress on our growth initiatives to offset the normalization of deposit revenues by further accelerating non-interest revenue growth. Commissions and fee income increased by 5% sequentially and 9% year-on-year, driven by strong momentum in trade finance and lending across all products, as well as in depository receipts in our trusts and agency services business. Deposits increased by €3 billion in the quarter and are €32 billion higher year-on-year, driven by higher term and sight deposits across currencies. The sequential increase in provision for credit losses was driven by Stage 1 and 2 provisions after moderate releases in the prior quarter, and higher Stage 3 provisions, which included two larger events in the European and German corporate segment, which were largely covered by risk mitigating measures. Non-interest expenses were essentially flat year on year, as higher internal service cost allocations and compensation costs were mostly offset by lower litigation costs. This resulted in a post-tax return on tangible equity of 15% and a cost-income ratio of 62%. I'll now turn to the investment bank on slide 15. Revenues for the second quarter were 10% higher year-on-year, driven by a strong performance in origination and advisory. Revenues in fixed income and currencies were essentially flat year-on-year, reflecting the base effect of a strong prior year quarter. Financing, credit trading, and emerging markets revenues were essentially flat year-on-year. In credit trading, the non-repeat of strong distressed performance in the prior year was offset by strength in the flow business, thanks to our prior period investments. The macro businesses were both down year-on-year. The performance in rates primarily reflected the ongoing uncertainty around central bank interest rate policies, while FX revenues were impacted by reduced volatility. This was partially mitigated by strong performance in the spot business, benefiting from investments into technology. Moving to origination and advisory, revenues doubled compared to the prior year, gaining market share both year-on-year and sequentially, while we maintained the number one rank in our home market. Debt origination continued to drive performance with an ongoing recovery in the leveraged debt market, while investment-grade debt issuance activity remained elevated. Advisory revenues were strong and materially higher both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter, benefiting from the previously highlighted investments made into the franchise. Looking ahead, we are encouraged by our third quarter O&A pipeline, which is materially higher year-on-year, although the market-anticipated slowdown in M&A industry volumes in the summer and over the third quarter may limit the possibility to outperform the very strong second quarter. Non-interest expenses and adjusted costs were both slightly higher year-on-year, reflecting the impact of strategic investments, including the Numis acquisition. Provision for credit losses was 163 million euros, or 63 basis points of average loans, driven by Stage 3 impairments. Turning to the private bank on slide 16, pre-tax profit nearly doubled compared to the second quarter last year. Let me walk you through the drivers. Revenues in the quarter were 2.3 billion euros. This includes higher revenues from investment products and lending, which were more than offset by continued higher funding costs, including the impact of minimum reserves and the group neutral impact of certain hedging costs to the business. Excluding these effects, revenues would have been up by 1% year-on-year. The sequential revenue development reflects a typical seasonal pattern, as some investment activities tend to be concentrated at the beginning of the year. As Christian mentioned before, the private bank saw strong business momentum with net inflows into assets under management of 7 billion euros in the quarter. Personal banking revenues were impacted by the aforementioned higher funding and hedging costs for our lending books, partially offset by resilient deposit revenues in Germany. Revenues in wealth management and private banking increased due to higher lending business and investment revenues, offset by lower deposit revenues in Germany. The private bank has continued its transformation with 38 branch closures in the first half of the year and headcount reductions of more than 1,000 FTEs in the last 12 months. Non-interest expenses declined by 13%, including lower restructuring and severance costs and the non-recurrence of provisions for individual litigation cases. The improvement in adjusted cost of 3% reflects normalized investment spend and transformation benefits, partially offset by still elevated service remediation costs. We expect these to taper off in the remainder of the year, contributing to a run rate improvement in the second half of the year. The overall quality of our portfolio remains stable. Provision for credit losses benefited from a gain on sale of a non-performing loan portfolio, but still include the temporary effects of the operational backlog in personal banking, which are expected to reduce during the second half. Let me continue with asset management on slide 17. My usual reminder, the asset management segment includes certain items that are not part of the DWS standalone financials. Profit before tax improved by 55% from the prior year period, driven by higher revenues and lower non-interest expenses. Revenues increased by 7% versus the prior year. This was primarily from higher management fees of 613 million euros, resulting from higher fees generated by liquid products due to increasing average assets under management. Other revenues were significantly higher, benefiting from lower treasury funding charges and a one-off insurance recovery in the quarter. Performance and transaction fees were significantly lower, driven by performance fees in alternatives real estate. Non-interest expenses were 4% lower due to lower litigation expenses in the quarter, while adjusted costs were essentially flat compared to the prior year, despite inflationary pressures. Passive investments saw a net inflow of 9 billion euros in the quarter due to shifting consumer behavior from active into passive investment strategies. Digital channel distribution is supporting strong growth in passive, resulting in positive momentum and 6 consecutive quarters of net inflows. Assets under management decreased by 8 billion euros to 933 billion euros in the quarter. The decrease was attributable to net outflows, despite positive market appreciation and FX effects. Net outflows of 19 billion euros were primarily in low margin products in fixed income, cash, and advisory services. The cost-income ratio for the quarter declined to 68%, and return on tangible equity was 18%, both improving from the prior year quarter. Moving to Corporate and Other on slide 18, Corporate and Other reported a pre-tax loss of €1.5 billion this quarter versus the equivalent pre-tax loss of €153 million in the second quarter of 2023, primarily driven by the Postbank takeover litigation provision of €1.3 billion. Revenues were positive €73 million this quarter. This compares to positive €85 million in the prior year quarter. Valuation and timing differences were positive €216 million in the quarter, driven by partial reversion of prior period losses and impacts from interest rate moves. This compares to positive €252 million in the prior year quarter. The pre-tax loss associated with legacy portfolios was €144 million, driven primarily by litigation charges and other expenses. At the end of the second quarter, risk-weighted assets stood at €32 billion, including €13 billion of operational risk, RWA. In aggregate, RWAs have reduced by €9 billion since the prior year quarter. Leverage exposure was €36 billion at the end of the second quarter, slightly higher than the prior year quarter. Finally, let me turn to the group outlook on slide 19. The second quarter and first half performance demonstrate the successful execution of our strategy, and we remain confident that our businesses have strong momentum and are positioned for further growth. And so, our full year 2024 guidance for revenues and adjusted costs have not changed, respectively at €30 billion and around €20 billion. Provision for credit losses for the year are now expected to come in slightly above 30 basis points of average loans. Finally, we have successfully mitigated several headwinds to our capital position, which supports our distribution plan, and this remains a key management priority. And, as Christian said, our full focus remains on the execution of our strategy, and the progress made in 2024 positions us well to achieve our 2025 targets. With that, let me hand back to Ioana, and we look forward to your questions.